We're taking our country back. We're all waking up. We're all showing up. The numbers need to continue to move in the right direction. All of their action is only going to solidify our core, not to scatter us and leave us, you know, ready to fall victim to their plots and ploys.
Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values. Hello, right. Flyover family. Welcome. So excited to be with you today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So if you are new to Flyover Conservatives, make sure you check us out on Rumble. Rumble.com/ Flyover Conservatives. Our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. Also, make sure you're part of the text group. You want to be part of the family. So text 816-579-1144. 816-579-1144. Text the word flyover to that.
Enables us to stay in direct communication with you. We're in a crazy time where speech isn't necessarily revered by everyone in power. And you never know where we might be in the future.
True.
You know, we've been put on a restrictive timeout before and for telling the truth, but we're not going to stop telling the truth. We're actually doubling down and just getting better at the game. So, but if you stay in touch with us through the text there at 816-579-1144, then we can be in direct communication with you. No matter how we bob and weave.
Exactly. So we're so excited. There's a couple of events coming up that we're going to be at. One in Michigan coming up in August. We would love to have you all there. Coming out of Tampa, that was such an incredible event. This is an amazing lineup with speakers from all over the country, from all different backgrounds, whether they be in the prophetic or military or...
You know, where else are you going to see like an Amanda Grace and a General Flynn?
True.
And a Mike Lindell and Ian Smith? You know, people from multiple realms overlapping and conservatives getting together, encouraging each other, high-fiving, smashing fear, coming together in a way, in a way that then you can go back to your town and village and be more effective.
Exactly.
You can't give something you don't have and you're on an empty tank. It's kind of hard to do it.
It's true. So we're going to be in Michigan in August 19th, 2021, and then we're going to be in Colorado the 24th and 25th. So if you're wanting tickets to these events, text 918-851-0102. 918-851-0102. It's very important that you give them the code FLYOVER for discounts. And it also puts us in contact with you so that we can let you know what we're going to be doing while we're there. We have like get-togethers and opportunity to meet each other. And so it keeps us in contact.
We had a big party in Tampa.
Well.
We rented a ballroom, had everybody come
so
together.
So much fun.
Ann Vanderstill and Mel Kay and all kinds of people. Melissa Redpill the World and lots of people came together.
Tons of high fives.
So you know, if you want to be a part of that, be sure and give them the word flyover when you text.
Yes. And today we have a very special guest.
I think this is episode, I believe, number 5.
I think so.
All right.
So it's such an honor to have a friend of ours and someone that you all love very much. And we're so excited to have him here today. And he's actually in a beautiful location.
Looks like he's in Missouri, but he's not.
He's not. So help us welcome to the show today, Juan O'Savin. Yay! Welcome, Juan.
Hey, what's going on out there?
Man, looks like you're in a beautiful place, having a cup of coffee and an Adirondack chair, enjoying your view, enjoying life.
Checking out those awesome boots.
Nice shiny boots. Nice shiny day.
Optimistic
look at the future.
They do shine the boots. They do shine the boots for free there at the Trump Hotel, which I always tip the kids. But they do a fantastic job. I was there, you know, for I don't know, a week and a half here, a week ago, and I forgot to have them shine my boots while I was there. I was like, oh shoot.
Man, but, well, they look nice.
They look pretty good. They look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I've been places where I haven't had to worry too much about getting dust on them here recently. So
you're kind of like that Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man. You have been everywhere.
Yeah, I've actually been doing quite a bit of traveling here. For the last 10 months. You know, I stepped off the boat, told the folks I had a list of things for them to do, and said be back in 2-3 days. And that was, August 17th.
Wow.
So who knows what's been going on since I've been gone. I might have new crew members and half of them are pregnant and the liquor cabinet's empty and who knows what's going on. But
Juan, there is an interesting thing taking place, and I see it with you. you know, even like ourselves, we put our businesses on hold. January, we committed 100% doubling down here to telling good stories. Things aren't going to be on CNN or Fox or Sun. Same thing. Business on hold. Let's all go in on this. Yourself, Clay Clark, you know, with his view. So many of the speakers we mentioned that event a minute ago. The General Flynn's. There's. I've never seen a point in history where so many, if you want to say like civilians, you know, but people are so all in on saving America. I mean, that really is the thing. It's like, what can I personally do to save America? We say a lot that everybody wanted Donald Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. What I'm seeing now, truly, you see the school board meetings, you see people rising up, you see these mama bears showing up and changing laws. There's so many things happening. It's looking like a shift towards 80 million people doing one thing to save their own country, you know, at whatever level and capacity and skills that they have and are repurposing. But I've never seen so many people engaged with a level of personal responsibility to save America.
You know, let me say this also. There seems to be a disconnect between, for example, the GOP party leaders in a lot of these states and the people. And so, for example, you see these candidates that are more populist. They can't get through this glass ceiling of the insider approved clubs. And so even within the GOP there, you know, there's this crowd that has control of who gets to be a candidate, and the campaign managers are you know, want to stick with, you know, almost pasteurized, homogenized candidates that mm-hmm. are yesterday's version, that they want to maintain this good old boy network. Or, for example, if you talk about certain high impact, hot ticket items, no, that's a loser. You know, people won't want to talk about that. Well, they do. And, you know, you won't get on the news media. You won't get this and that. You'll get banned off of, you know, the social media platforms and all that. Well, you know, I was going to use a bad word. I'm trying to be courteous for some of your gals. But, you know, the reality is that, excuse me? Yes, there's some contentious subject matter that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, some of these candidates that the GOP is pushing, you look at them, they're against the Second Amendment. I mean, they're, you know, literally for continuing the vax thing, you know, to outer space. Look, I just, in the last little bit, I've been on the communicating. I was supposed to do some travel here later in the year quite a bit. And a couple of locations require you to have the shot. And I says, not happening. Look, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying don't get the shot. If you want to get the shot, get the shot. Don't force me to get the shot. And by the way, if having the shot is a requirement for me to go to your country or to your location or to get it, you know, in some certain place, mm-hmm. not happening.
Right.
Because, you know, the horror stories are out there. You know, you had, on one of the social media sites, they had 200,000 people with reports talking about complications from getting the shots. And so they pulled it down. Where's that American, we can't have a conversation, and to be informed so we can make an informed decision on stuff. This cancel culture thing, that's not American.
Right.
And that is a threat to America as it is. You know, I have contacts out of China that on some business stuff, and within the university system, they themselves are being allowed to reach out because I think it's very obvious the consensus amongst the people around me is that they're allowed to do the communications they're doing because they recognize that President Trump is not going away and is going to have some greater impact in the way things operate out into the future. Mm-hmm. And so they're hedging their bets to maintain lines of communication and keep some people viable that can reach out in the aftermath of what is going to happen. But they're the exception. Most mm-hmm. people in China are afraid to say a word that could get them crosswise and get them, disappeared, shut up, prisoned, whatever. The system is very, very...
They become an involuntary organ donor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you kid about it. It's the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reports of these vans running around in China, and, you know, everybody's been tagged and mapped and et cetera. And if they've got a donor that you fit their criteria and they need your specific organ donor match and you've run afoul for some reason of the government, they're picking you up and you're parts and pieces in no time at all. Mm-hmm. So it sounds insane, but the reports are so compelling. That you just can't. At a certain point, you have to say, "No, there's smoke, yeah, there's fire."
Juan, let's drill in that for just one second, because that can only take place because of a state-controlled media that doesn't allow a competitive conversation mm-hmm. to take place. And you talk about candidates a minute ago. I cannot if you're trying to be a part of what's called the GOP. And you're not fighting for free speech. You're not fighting for the Second Amendment. You're not a fighter, period. The people are not going to support you. You're the king of nothing.
Right.
You know, you have a bunch of keys to a building that they change the locks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the people that get the jobs in the press and then they get to do the reporting, they know there's certain things that they just cannot discuss or they're done. Or if they don't use the right trigger words, they don't say it the right way, they don't get past the editorial board. And so, you know, they have a problem. Now, you can have a different side of it. We had reporters that did work in Saudi Arabia years ago, did an amazing reporting job on certain problems going on in Saudi Arabia. And they got access to the opposition. Did these incredible interviews. They left, and all of a sudden, all of those opposition people were disappeared or in jail. Well, what was the deal? They used the press, supposedly getting to the bottom of the story, to find them, expose them, get them on record saying what they were saying, thinking they were getting a good shot. And then the reality is the press was doing the work for the other side. And it was people out of the Western press that got access over there. This is a very dangerous moment. And then we have, even within the opposition groups, you want to go have a protest somewhere in America. You have to just assume that a huge number of the people that are going to show up at your protest are on the payroll of some federal agency. Either they're under the thumb because they've got them cornered where they've, had to provide evidence and cooperate. Otherwise, they're going to get thrown in jail on something, or they're being paid literally as paid informants. That was the problem, for example, up at the Malheur Reservation. That was a problem down with the Bundys. Half the people at the Malheur Reservation, bird refuge, were on the payroll of one government agency or another. It's the same thing when you go out to D.C. and you have a guy that is there on the 15th pushing, everybody's got to invade the Capitol. You got to go in and capture Congress and all this other stuff. And he's a guy that's on the Fed's payroll.
Right.
And people in the audience are pointing at him, Fed, 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 but he comes from a group that, is really good. I mean, I won't mention the group, but there was a very large national group. And we had it from numerous locations, including another federal agent who said, yeah, he's on the payroll. I mean, the guy who's running the whole operations on the payroll, providing information. So how free is your speech, your right to protest in a situation where you have these shills that are thrown in there that are agitating, trying to amp up, bring things to a certain, result that isn't what the people would have done. It's some kind of amped up situation because you have rabble rousers on the inside and they're trying to gin something up. Part of the thing, I've said this repeatedly over the last few days, but for any of your listeners that haven't heard it, let me just add this one thing. Good friends of President Trump, who had the country's best interests in mind, real patriots, one of the White House staffers, a relatively low-level staffer, was able to work a deal to get these people in to meet with the president on December 28th of last year and talk about, what was, options for the president legally to go after these situations in the vote. And I'm being very careful with the words because there's trigger words that the AIs capture.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think people that are listening can be aware enough.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, understand, I'm trying to have a conversation in an environment where people are controlling what we get to say. It's my entire point. So if I can't use specific words that you might have already figured out, understand that's the environment we're in. This is exactly what we're talking about.
Be smart, people.
So, these people come in and they have a very important conversation with the president. It lasts a long time. It's not, it was only supposed to be a short while. It ended up being hours and hours and hours. And these attorneys and the various folks are pressing President Trump to go along with, assist them, in doing things that they had done the research on, that they knew had a good likelihood of being able to go in and respond to this mischief that had occurred in and around the election in a number of states that was going to, flip the outcome in a very negative way. This is before January 20th. And President Trump listened. He spent a lot of time, asked lots of questions. They thought they had him, in agreement to do a certain thing. But by the next day, he had shut things down, closed off access, was blamed on, people around the president that were controlling access to the president. Well, yes, they were. There's no question about that. But you got to think about President Trump. For a lot of people around him, and I've said this several times, it bears repeating again, because people seem to forget. This is not a withering, shy person.
No.
Okay.
No.
This is not somebody who's dithering and just not sure what to do. Oh my goodness. But I just don't know. If he is questioning, he's thinking things through at a lot of levels. And to think that he somehow lost his mind, lost his nerve, got weak and feeble, and old age had suddenly descended upon him in this worrisome moment as he's about to leave the presidency because, he thought he'd win, but he didn't. Bull fucking shit. Give me a break.
He's sharp as a tack.
Who are you listening to?
Yeah.
Come on. In that meeting, what you were seeing was one of the great grandmasters of chess, one of the unbelievable poker players with a poker face, not giving away what he knew, what he had. You're in a game of Casino Royale. The unique thing about Casino Royale, only one person takes home the entire pot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's one winner. There's no second place. Okay? Same thing in chess. So there's no also-ran position. And on that December 28th date, remember, you keep hearing all this stuff, January 6th. He was trying to do this. He was trying to cause a revolution. He's trying to cause a civil war. He's doing all this stuff. He's got all those people. He's not going to leave office. And he's trying to destroy the country. Well, in the background, behind the scenes, you don't think we had good, solid intel that he was aware of. He was still president, getting daily briefs in the PDP. There's all this data that's there available to the president, and he's got his inner advisors at various levels. And what's the point? The point is, had President Trump signed the Insurrection Act, had he turned loose the dogs of war to go fight over the election outcome, there was enough question about exactly what had happened and how good the data was, how solid it was, how much you could prove, etc. Imagine had President Trump signed the Insurrection Act visibly, made a big stink of it, and in those few days before January 6th, if President Trump had begun that process, what would January 6th actually, for real, have looked like? Would you have had the first shots across the bow of a civil war in America? Almost certainly that's true. You had lots of people that were ready to take their guns and go do something. Instead, on January 6th, and remember, I was there. It's in the video, The Called, The Makings of a Perfect Day, that Jennifer Mack made. And that movie is fantastic. And if you haven't seen it, go see the movie.
We'll put a link down below.
It's a perfect day. Yes.
Our producer just said he's already got the link down below. If you're watching this live on Rumble, there is a link below there. You can be able to find that.
That's right. And so why is that relevant? Because the people that were there, I mean, there's a million people there. It's amazing how many people were there. And they were in prayer. They were singing. There was a gal there with a huge speaker system that's in the movie. And she was saying the Lord's Prayer. She was saying prayers over the whole crowd. That was the atmosphere that was there for the day. They weren't there for a civil war. They were there to be counted, present as and accounted for, ready for duty. And but they didn't show up to start a war.
No.
Some instigators, some infiltrators went and did stuff, and then they had willing accomplices with the way that the building was opened up there at Congress, inviting people in, you know. And by the way, you know, Putin was pointing out, you know, you talk about our gulags. What about the gulags of D.C. with all these people that have been taken in related to that January 6th thing? And how they're being held. It's crazy. You know,
treated horribly. They're treated worse than any criminal that there is. A lot of these are, the first lady was sentenced recently, and I think it was, I don't know how old she was, but she was an elderly grandmother, and basically her whole crime on the sentencing was trespassing. And so, you know, it's like a big hullabaloo for nothing. For those of you, like, this gets reshared a lot. I'm going to put on here, today is June 29th. These the manual deal, because
One of the biggest comments we always get is like, what day was this actually recorded on? You know, that's like the biggest thing people like what is most active up to date?
Well, because these videos we deal with one, sometimes they're done in like Pakistani, weird words down below. You can tell it's not English, is it their first language?
Everybody loves one, so it just keeps getting shared,
reshared 4 months later or whatever. So I'll say it's June 29th 2021.
Yes.
This is a manual way of documenting that. but you're exactly right in that Putin is correct in saying that. Putin has every right to say that, because the way things are being run under this deep state regime is like the gulag.
Well, and again, so we go back to the incident on January 6th. How it was, they want to portray it in this very sinister thing. What if President Trump had done what was being very sternly requested of him? by these people that were present there, and they're all patriots. They're all friends of the president. They went there in good faith. That cannot be in doubt. And the president in good faith listened extra long in case he'd missed something, in case he'd misunderstood something, in case there was any question. He gave them the extra time. I had one of my associates was waiting there in the building to do a meeting on something else critical, and had to wait till the next day because the meeting went so long. The president took so much time. And why wouldn't he do something with this good advice? Because on the numbers, he knew, based on the modeling, the AI modeling, reviewing the situation, where the country's at, where the people were at, that it was a formula that would lead to civil war. Brother against brother here in the country. Everything the opposition, the Soros teams, the BLM, the Antifa, everything they've been doing for well over a year has been aimed at beginning a civil war.
Yep. Yes.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Complete division.
So, yep. Complete division. But
it's Marxist playbook. Marxist playbook, create division, mm-hmm. like you said, brother against brother on every level.
That's exactly right.
Class,
right.
color,
so
mass.
So had
facts.
The president done what he'd done, we would have gone into civil war,
yep.
because the numbers were not sufficient to stop it. How do you keep from getting into civil war? You have to have a large enough consensus amongst the population that it's quite a ways away from 50-50. Mm-hmm. On this stuff related to the election data, look how long it's taken just to get where we're at with Arizona, and we're still running into all sorts of opposition to get the release. We have external forensic data that we had literally the day after the election. I brought the guys in and we went through it. They ended up going to other places and doing stuff for other people, and their work has been seen in most of the stuff you see with the attorneys and the other groups that are doing it. But we had it literally that next day, forensically, externally, in ways that are classically admissible in court for auditing purposes, etc. But in this case, you really need the internal data. And the other stuff that was done through other intelligence agency systems and military systems, that's not necessarily accessible, refined, ready for prime time, even though it's there and was had. Mm-hmm. So the long and short of it is you would have had a big Duke Mount fight that would have lasted a very long time, mm-hmm. and over weeks and months. One incident would lead to another incident, would cause other people to get blown out of shape another way. I was having a conversation with a couple of very famous coaches the other day out of the Southeast. And one of them said, look, I was ready to go, grab the armory and go to war. I said, that's my point exactly.
Yeah.
That we couldn't allow that to happen. President Trump, with the absolute best interests of his fellow Americans at heart, did exactly what he had to save the country by holding, to allow this data to develop in a way that the people could see it, that would be actionable, and allow the people to organically come of age mentally, wake up, mm-hmm. engage, and decide to go after this.
That's
and so
term.
I come back to this early portion of our conversation. You have candidates coming out of the woodwork who are not, they don't have a history in the machine, in the system. They haven't paid their dues at the city council level, and then they're going to go to this, and then they know exactly mm-hmm. how they're going to function for that. They have the skills, they have the qualifications, but just like President Trump, he jumped past all those lower positions, went straight to the presidency. No political history at all.
Man,
what
that is
was
so
his value?
True. Yeah.
He wasn't already cooked mm-hmm. by the system.
Yeah.
He hadn't made his bones where they could control him. They had him, okay? And we have a lot of candidates for some of these offices that come from a similar perspective, that have all the qualifications, understanding to do this stuff, but they didn't come up through the machine. So they haven't been ground and pushed and molded like clay to fit the machine's stuff. They aren't owned by the people that run the GOP in these various states, et cetera. And so they don't want these guys. They don't want anything to do with them.
Man, that's so true. Colton's
pulling up some candidates here for Secretary of State that are skipping some ranks. You're seeing some people come straight from, like, their intention is like, man, this was my life over here. Reluctantly, all right, I'm gonna go this direction over here because I got to save America. They're like a 107. It's like all right, I'm gonna stay off. I'll be back on the boat in 3 days. Well, it's a year. It's a year later because I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And they have tomatoes thrown at me and have them try and run my name in the mud. You know, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. But I've got to save this country.
Man, that is true. We are seeing that. Whether it be, you know, Heidi St. John in Washington, you know, running for the House of Representatives, or you've got, you know, people running for governor that's never had any kind of political background, either business, you know, or Secretary of State. We've done so many interviews lately. Yeah, exactly.
They're not like some of these politicians, some of them have never even had a job, let alone ever owned a business.
Right.
They've never created anything. They've never had the weight of responsibility of going to bed at night thinking, how do I keep this thing afloat for the betterment of others, which is actually a form of service. They've never served.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, and again, I come back to, are we being managed, even in the candidates that we get to choose, by the people that are supposedly on our side? We got some really great folks with real skill sets that are good choices. You know, I am concerned that some of the people that are being offered up for endorsement by President Trump may not actually be the right choices as far as the people are concerned. A choice that was made to back for a governor of Texas. You talk to the folks locally there in Texas, and there's a lot of people I have a lot of respect for, and they're like, are you kidding me? Seriously? And that may need to be revisited, but, you know, some of these advisors may be making strategic calculations that may not be the best at the end of the day for the people. And I think we, you know, may need to revisit some of these things, and we'll get a chance to. That said, there is a brand there with President Trump that plenty of the candidates are still seeking his endorsement. Mm-hmm. And because he has so much weight in the country with the people. Mm-hmm. And also that's why people from both Russia and China are keeping doors open, back doors open of communication, because they haven't given up that President Trump is coming back, and they don't mean in 2024. Mm-hmm. They understand there's other stuff at play, and they want to keep those contacts open, those options open, because they see things turning much sooner than 2024. And let me just go on and attack that for a second.
That'd be great.
The mechanisms where you could go through the judicial or congressional mechanisms or machines and end up with President Trump being handed or moved into office and Biden being taken out for some reason related to the vote, they just don't really technically exist. There's people can make all sorts of arguments, et cetera, but let's just get to the politics for real. Congress is not going to reverse where they've certified the vote. Just isn't going to happen. The courts are vested. They denied standing to people to have a starting place to say something related to the vote. So you're not going to get the courts to back up, certainly not easily, and almost certainly just isn't going to happen. It would be just not possible from a political standpoint. It's just not going to happen. The administrative side, which is the executive, which is the presidency, and the Congress and the courts, You have a corrupt Congress and a crooked court. Mm-hmm. They're right. captured operations. Yep. They're doing somebody else's bidding. And they don't even want to hear, let alone see any evil. The president's not going to say anything evil about it because he's the winner. So you got the fox guarding the hen house regarding the outcome of the vote. And you're going to go in and you're going to get some action from the states who couldn't even get standing for Texas with, you know, 30 some other states wanting to join in to challenge the way the vote was held in other states that could determine who gets to be in charge. And you couldn't get standing then. How are you going to get standing now? The reality is that just doesn't exist. It's, as I've said, the only option ever was a military option. And so the presidency is not the same as the commander-in-chief. The presidency is an administrative position, and it's the inferior position in a control command situation. The presidency administers over matters between the Congress and the courts for civilian affairs out across the country. But in a military situation where the military is required, policing is aimed at internal problems inside the country, and the administrative side is aimed at policing and courts and justice within the justice system, which, by the way, you can't get to justice in the justice system right now, apparently. But the army, the military, is against foreign aggressors, those that would steal our freedom, steal our possessions, threaten us from outside of our borders, and or if they've invaded from inside our borders. But the military, the commander-in-chief hat, is the superior position of the two. Which is more powerful, the president or the commander-in-chief?
I would say commander-in-chief.
That's right. Mao said all power emanates from the barrel of a gun. Well, who's got the bigger gun here?
Commander-in-chief.
Okay. Yeah. Commander-in-chief. Now, Biden's made some very bizarre comments over the last days and weeks.
Yes.
That are just, you know, they're going to go nuclear on the American people. You know, what's going on here? You know, if you remember, Nancy Pelosi wanted to move control of the nuclear forces under congressional control a couple weeks after Biden was sworn in. The reality is that, and let me just clarify this for some of your listeners. I've mentioned it in the last few days, but it bears repeating again. The Director of National Intelligence gave 45 days, was given 45 days by an executive order signed September 12th, 2018 by President Trump. The executive order says that after every federal national election, the Director of National Intelligence, which is the 17th agency that supervises the other 16 intelligence gathering agencies like NSA, NRO, National Reconnaissance Office, FBI, CIA, all these other investigative agencies under Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence was required to provide a report to the president and to other agency heads concerning any evidence of foreign interference in a federal election. The foreign interference, the whole point is that if you have foreign countries, foreign powers, foreign could include corporations, globalist-minded groups or individuals who interfere in the election process in order to move the winner to be somebody favorable to them, not to the American people, the voters, but to move a person in who's suitable to their interest to do their bidding. So foreign interference. That report was due from the 11-3 election date on December 18th, 45 days later. It never happened. It wasn't provided. Now, this is one of the things that was raised in this meeting with the president on December 28th, 10 days later, when all of these advisors came in and said, look, Director of National Intelligence is not in compliance with your executive order. And, you know, the agency heads that are doing the investigation aren't providing the data timely. Why? Mm-hmm. What could possibly be the reason? Well, it was because they were getting data that was showing that there was foreign interference, and some of them are on somebody's payroll. They're under somebody else's, you know, they're on somebody else's leash.
Was this, this under Ratcliffe and what he was putting together mm-hmm. at the end of 2020?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And so you had no legal compliance with a legal order. And, you know, the nation's at stake. The future of the nation, who's going to run America, not just the presidency, but representatives and senators, et cetera, all these federal positions on the line. And there was nothing, you know, you have time. You have over a month left to act if there is evidence of foreign interference to try and determine what happened, who was behind it, what effect it had on the vote. That report never came. So when they were meeting with the president on December 28th, part of the context was, hey, somebody's not,
right.
you know, giving us the data.
Right.
We're not able to protect ourselves as a people. If somebody's trying to capture the operation, we're not, you know, they're not working with us. There's some kind of a problem here. You know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, President Trump? And so he's looking at the data. He's also got information that's outside of the public conversation, that's outside of these people's direct knowledge.
Right.
This is on the other side of the firewall. Oh, we don't know anything about that. Yes, because it's on the other side of the firewall. Well, but mm-hmm. but he has to tell us and he has to protect us. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, can't.
Okay, because some of that is so sensitive, so important, so critical that we have to allow him room to keep certain things secret that we may have developed, known, figured out, that we're still working through, including that foreign activists, foreign powers, who not only participated in cooking the vote, were also trying to create a scenario where they would trigger civil war in America, including this January 6th event. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anticipating anything Trump would do that might call the people to be aware of what's going on. And they turn around and then use that to run the country into civil war. President Trump did exactly what he was supposed to do. He didn't work in his own personal best interests to keep the president. Remember, his family is as much on the line as anybody on this planet. If he isn't back in, if we don't retake the Hill, they'll never back off going after his family.
Right.
Okay, you think that he was dithering and he was trying to be protective and he didn't know what to do? Are you kidding me? He's as much in the line of fire as anybody, period. Right. Look at what's going on in Southern District of New York with all the mischief down there. Yeah. And they want to indict him. And by the way, they probably will. So what's going to be the result of that?
Counter-move.
Judges oftentimes in a situation like that will put a gag order. So how much is he going to be able to speak to the American people with a gag order on him?
Which is probably their real goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have no intention of really binding him up legally. They really need his message, his briefings, his rallies to stop during this this time, because the scale's tipping towards that 81%.
Well, it is moving. And of course, these rallies would move it further.
Yeah.
We have to be a bit, you know, thicker skinned on this whole thing. There's plays going both directions. This is far from over. And understand, with as much at stake as there is, oh, I think we're close. We just got to do something right now. You know, we're close enough. Well, close enough. Are you willing to gamble your whole country on that? When you're playing Casino Royale, you get hands that you think are pretty good, but you got to read your opponent. And maybe mm-hmm. your opponent's got a pretty good hand too. Are you willing to take a chance with your children, your grandchildren's future,
right,
on close?
And we got an opponent that is all in. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a conversation about the Wilshire Boulevard, you know, 2018 military exercise, you know, that took place. And, you know, Pelosi and her crew was all vacated from the state of California at the time. Like, these guys are all in. Mm-hmm. And and they're not playing, you know, just bumper cars here.
This is not patty cakes. This mm-hmm. is for all the marbles.
The opponent is all the chips in.
That's right. And this is for who controls the world. Mm-hmm. And most people are fixated on the presidency because that's where the media is at. That's our most common understanding of the role, most powerful position in the world, etc. But the reality is, it's not the presidency, it's the commander in chief. And so 45 days didn't get this report from the Director of National Intelligence. Then on January 19th, they get the report with only a day left. And the report even then is not complete. A lot of stuff that's not fully finalized out, but they get a report to the president and the other agency heads with no time to act. Mm-hmm. It's a sealed deal. The courts have already decided that Biden's not going to be challenged. The states aren't going to be challenged on their vote counts. And Congress isn't going to do anything. That was the whole reason for showing up on January 6th, was that Pence could have pushed it back to the states for a recount and to look at the data, and Pence didn't do that. So, and by the way, there is no vice commander-in-chief.
he got a poor reception in Orlando two weekends ago.
Yeah.
Well, and again, if you want to look at it in this way, look, if somebody goes after you on the vote, if it's an attack on your vote, be it digital or otherwise, that is the same as a WMD, a weapon of mass destruction, because you can decapitate the leadership and either make it so you can't have an elected person because the vote's so scrambled you can't put anybody in office, or you get somebody that isn't the person of the people. It's some adversary, somebody else's choice, who will do somebody else's bidding. So with that in mind, a stolen, fraudulent vote is the same as a weapon of mass destruction used against the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, if it's WMD and you're under attack in a digital Pearl Harbor, a digital 9/11, then that means that you're in a wartime situation. The presidency is not the senior position. It's commander in chief. Now, the military, at the moment, they're required to hand over command of the nuclear forces, which is an upper strata of the military. The Joint Chiefs are advisory on the administrative side of government. The Secretary of Defense is advisory, administrative side of the government. Commander-in-chief is a different role, and that's to control our nuclear forces and above. Cheyenne Mountain, control of our missile forces, Strategic Air Command, all the rest of it. That is a different strata of command, and the commander-in-chief controls that. And by the way, I have another appointment I have to get to fairly shortly, so I only have a couple moments left.
Yeah, appreciate any time you got for us.
Background. Well, yeah. So with that in mind, we got the gonging going.
Got the hunchback in the background swinging on his ropes.
I was actually going to ask you something, Juan. I just want to summarize it just to make sure that I get what you're saying. So all this counting that's going on in Arizona and then other states that are going to follow suit, this doesn't really have anything to do with the court system or, you know, where it's going to go from there. It's actually the public people in the United States believing that there was shenanigans that happened. And once it gets to the point where over 80% believe that there was shenanigans, then the military can actually do something and civil war does not break out in our country. Is that correct?
Well, let me put it this way. And I apologize. I didn't expect the chimes here.
That's
the
okay.
Our conversation. The military can take action at any time. But it's what's appropriate for the moment. 45 days being the standard set in the executive order. At the moment when the military is required to hand over command and control of our nuclear forces, that's when they pause. And that's why Nancy was wanting to get the power put over to Congress. The military in that specific strata did not hand over command and control of nuclear forces to Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. They did not recognize him as the elected representative of the people because the data was not provided timely and was not responded to because there was no time to evaluate and respond to the data from the Director of National Intelligence. Using 45 days, they began their own investigation, not in a broad public military sense.
Okay.
Command and control of nuclear forces and beyond remained under the control of the generals. Remember, the suitcase, the briefcase, is only a handshake. It doesn't actually do anything. Biden can take his Toys R Us, you know, colored plastic keys, you know, that they got at the one-year-old sale and put them in the briefcase and do anything he wants, turn all the... Nothing's happening.
Right.
Nothing's happening. A general has to agree at the other end. It's advisory. And the general has the ability, if he cannot get contact, let's say that some event happened and the president's unable to respond, the communication is broken, something's happened to the president, etc., and you can't get to the VP or whatever. The general, if missiles are in flight, if there's some active thing, he has the authority, the lawful authority, to act to protect the American people, to protect the infrastructure. Now, we've had some laws changed that we would absorb a first strike. That happened back under Clinton. And then do a BDA and then determine how to respond. And that, in fact, is the case even here. We've been under attack. The drug stuff that you mentioned that happened at Long Beach Harbor, and then the
fentanyl.
Radiological and the biological there on Wilshire Boulevard at the Guatemalan Cultural Center that we've talked about previously.
Yep.
All of those attacks, including these internal terrorist groups, Antifa and BLM and similar, those are attacks on our sovereignty as a country. They are being brought against us by foreign-controlled individuals and groups, foreign-managed. And so with that in mind, holding to evaluate and not handing over control and retaining it at the general staff within the nuclear forces, a completely different strata than the general military and general staff, flag officers, etc. Within that specific strata, authority was not handed over to Joe Biden. 45 days being the pattern that was set up for the DNI report, if you go 45 days from January 20th, when the military is triggered, because they didn't do anything as long as right up to the moment that Biden was sworn, there were options for the courts and for Congress to act. They didn't. So the trigger was the moment when he was sworn, and then those authorities were intended to be handed over. If you use 45 days, that takes you out to March 6th. Mm-hmm. Then once the report is released to say, well, some action was instantaneous in that day, it could have been, but the reality is several days of review between the various authorities. that do maintain control in a case of an attack. Just hypothesize, imagine that nuclear bombs have gone off across America and the world. Okay. And you have to assess what's still working, what could maybe be made to work, and what's not working and probably isn't going to be available as a resource anytime soon. That kind of an evaluation, how were we attacked? Who did the attack? Are we sure of who did the attack precisely? Or is there some false flags involved? You know, was that pirate ship flying that flag actually from that country or that country, or were they just doing that to make us think it came from
that? That's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so some evaluation is required of the data once completed. Because of the number of branches of services involved, each giving their version from their own military intelligence and their evaluation, and then an internal vote, 5 days. That brings you to 3/11. Now, I've said to your audience specifically and others, this whole period is an Esther moment. It's all about the reversal, the flip, or as Roseanne likes to say, the boomerang. And the reversal of the situation. 3/11 is the reversal of what?
November 3rd.
11/3.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So, and then even then, once reading in a new commander-in-chief, the military does not put a president in office. Congress and the courts do that, the states with their vote. They recognize the lawful commander-in-chief. Once read in, the commander-in-chief then decides, as the controller of military options and forces, starting with the nuclear forces and beyond, what those next moves are. If you're not sure how the attack was done precisely or who's involved, maybe you need more data. Maybe you don't know what the ongoing attacks are moment to moment to moment. That's what you have to allow room to determine, and this doesn't have to be made public. In fact, it wouldn't be, because if you're under ongoing attack, the enemy knowing exactly what you can do or planning on doing in a military situation, are you kidding? A WMD of a digital attack, any type of attack to change the vote outcome, to decapitate or disrupt the lawful civilian control of our government, that's an act of war. Mm-hmm. So the response to prepare to respond to that is not something that maybe is known or knowable in just an instant. And you have to begin to work to reformulate and decide what's available to you for options. And that would be my contention. So part of the question is, by April 1st, did anyone who voted for Biden or what was long before then just the Democratic candidate, were they made to look the fool? Do you look like a fool if you voted for Biden at this point in time?
Absolutely.
Okay, so did I lose my bet? And by the way, President Trump was never impeached.
Right.
They voted for impeachment, but he was never impeached.
Nope. Nor is he conceded.
So a president is president for life, for eternity, unless his rank is removed via impeachment. Senate never voted for impeachment. So just so you indict somebody doesn't mean that they were convicted. Okay. President Trump was never convicted and impeached by the Senate. So he's a president forever. So I said President Trump would still be president come April 1st, and anybody that voted for Biden would be the fool. Did I lose my bet?
Nope.
Okay, definitely I did not buy dinner for one of my friends that didn't want to buy into that. But I have several others. I have several others that have said, oh, I think you might be right, and they're still holding.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet against you.
I wouldn't, no. You're talking fall now, right, Juan? Isn't that what you're thinking? Sometime late fall?
You know, I'm not going to put a date because we're now in a military situation. We're under attack. But, you know, there's several more stanzas in this, you know, play that have to be done. There's a few more scenes. They're not through attacking us on the financial. Financial things usually happen in the fall. And there's a lot of angles there. We have an incredible heat wave going on in America, in the Western U.S., and that affects weather patterns. At the same time, we have weather patterns coming out of Africa, where the hurricanes come from, up in the south and east, that are shaping up to be world class for some incredible hurricane season coming. America's headed for a very fiery next several months, probably the largest forest fire danger. And by the way, enemies have attacked us by lighting fires during this drought stuff. We're in a drought in the West with fire season. And then we have a huge hurricane season. We're going to have a tough second half of the summer and fall. And then some financial stuff. There's a lot in play. And by the way, I don't think Trump and his people have any desire to own the financial crisis that these people are setting us up for.
No kidding.
So, you know, they want to have their way and people want to do it. Well, let's see what it looks like when they do what they're doing. Are we supposed to stop their mischief on the financial stuff? Is that the duty of the commander in chief? You have to sometimes make choices on what to do and when to do it. Even though the enemy gets to move up, gain some ground here or there, are you moving them into a location where you can then take them out completely? Do you have to yield ground, let them come in so you can encircle them? Are you going to run them up a canyon? What's going on? I'm not going to second guess what's in play here. I am telling you that what the media is portraying about where we're at and what's at stake and how it's going to be played, I think there's a you'd be on very solid ground questioning anything that the general media is allowing to be said, that any of the social media is allowing you to talk about or say. Reality in their world is different than reality in our world, but theirs is a concocted, twisted, fabricated reality. I was just looking at some of the numbers with one of the advisors near the president. Talked to them on a weekly basis, and they were saying that social media data shows that the public isn't looking for a return of President Trump. They're looking for, you know, election integrity in 2022 and 2024. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you kidding me? You're going to the social media that won't allow an honest conversation.
Oh, you can't even post. You can't
and
even say anything.
And then you're doing your data based on what you see there.
That's, that's a joke.
That's not what people want. You know,
that is not true.
No.
You look at the energy behind things right now. I you know, we were just in Tampa at that event with Flynn and all those guys, and there's, you know, 10,000 people in the room and millions of people streaming online, and this is 6 months into a new, you know, regime or whatever. Like, when in history have people been this ramped up, this cranked up? It's like the Jack in the Box is just ripping, you know, the Trump, you know, President Trump, you know, event in Ohio. You know, they should have an event at the same location next weekend with Joe Biden and see who shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and compare the two shots. It's ridiculous.
It's a joke.
And it feels a little bit like all the apparatuses of media and our own government are not pointed at other nations. All the apparatuses of government are pointed at our own citizens right now.
Well, let me just add one thing. And I've said this for years. The media operations are being controlled, being created by black hats inside of these federal agencies.
Yeah.
Remember, Facebook, the system that we call Facebook today was created over at DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Program. And so they created this thing, and then they anointed Zuckerberg to run that, you know, whose wife is.
Is that deep state there grabbing a hold of him?
Yeah.
There in the moment. But I think, you know, as we're waiting on Juan to call back in, you know, the NSA, we just had reports recently that the NSA is even targeted and had inside information. There's a whistleblower within that organization that says they're taking down Tucker Carlson. And, you know, if you look at the media landscape, like who's kind of maybe Judge Jeanine's like speaking out, there's a few people. I don't know if Fox is, as a whole can really be honored, but Tucker Carlson specifically, if you at least watch his opening monologue each night, he is launching missiles at the deep state.
He is.
That is a big part of that. All right. Facebook, DARPA.
Yeah. So the whole point is that you have people in all of these agencies. You know, O'Reilly was getting money from the CIA. He wouldn't let us go look at the birth certificate, and wouldn't let anybody over at Fox talk about it. Well, and he's on the payroll over at CIA. Mm. Really?
Yep.
Okay, that's what's been said over and over. You know, I'm not saying it. Other people have said it. So who's controlling who? So how are you going to have an honest conversation when all of these social media sites and then these media presenters are on somebody else's payroll? You just can't have an honest conversation. So very cooked. And this has been going on for a very long time, including what movies get made, what producers do them,
sure,
how they're portrayed, good and evil, etc. You know, you had Chinese in there deciding that Tom Cruise couldn't have a patch on his jacket
right.
that showed yeah. Taiwan. Okay. So how you think about the world around you is being controlled by people both inside our system, black hats, who want a globalist agenda running the country, and external forces. What's ahead for America is a revolution against foreign powers, foreign entities, foreign groups that are trying to control who runs America. And by the way, where was the dossier against Trump created? Right there in Britain, mm-hmm. City of London.
City
where
of London.
Did Stroker Page go to get this? Where did Creamer, the aide from John McCain, go to get the thing? Halper, that piece of shit, okay, who's not helping America, has dual citizenship over there at the Cambridge and came up with the whole plot and plan to try and honeypot Papadopoulos with some other gal. He's got this beautiful Correct. Wife. And he's going to try and interfere in the marriage with this honeypot and suck him into something.
Didn't happen.
Fortunately, he had scruples. He had faith. And he didn't go for it. Mm-hmm. And he saved himself, but he also helped the rest of the country. I have a lot of respect for Papadopoulos. I can tell you that right now. Because
mm-hmm.
they put on a full court press with the money, every angle. And they talked like he was, you know, wet behind the ears, a nobody, whatever. Well, he sure knew enough to watch out for what was coming
yep.
and to recognize a plot against him and exactly. that there was some bigger forces going on there. So give him some doggone credit. I have a lot of respect for him. Same thing with Flynn. They attacked him, tried to say that he was, doing something with this Russian gal as though there was something there. You know, here he's got his high school sweetheart. They love each other to death. And they tried to mess up his marriage publicly and privately. Okay, are you kidding me? And so that is foreign attacks on America.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Trying to damage and to twist. And to control who gets to be your leaders in America. We're not putting up with it. That's a revolutionary war that's coming that we will do as America to stop foreign powers and their agents and minions and treasonous, traitorous, seditious pieces of shit inside our own country
mm-hmm.
in positions of authority and positions where they are acting terroristically. To try and scare us into allowing us to fall into civil war for their advantage, for their globalist aspirations. I'd love to say a few choice words here, but we're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that to happen to America. We're going to come back. These next many months are going to be very, very difficult, but we got this.
Mm.
It's going to be hard. We got this because America's waking up like Gulliver and we're seeing the people show up. And if they won't allow President Trump to speak at some of these rallies, what do you want to bet the American people show up anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Just to make sure they know we hear them even with his mouth closed. We can hear what's going on in his brain. We get it. And even though people didn't understand what the logic was for him not taking action all the way back to December 28th, excuse me, start reading his mind, look what's going on. We're taking our country back. We're all waking up. We're all showing up. The numbers need to continue to move in the right direction. All of their action is only going to solidify our core, not to scatter us and leave us, you know, ready to fall victim to their plots and ploys. Folks, oh, I have to move on.
Juan, we're so thankful for your time, thankful for your friendship. We're thankful for the fact that you're willing to stand up for America and put everything on hold to make it happen.
Thank you so much, Juan.
When the story of this country's salvation is told, you're a founding father, you're a patriot, you're going to have statues.
Well, I don't want to presume anything like that. I'm just glad to be in there. I'm fighting just like the rest of the folks in your audience. You know, I know this is an audience of David's. Everybody else passed them by. They look like they're just out tending the flock, you know, doing whatever, protecting one sheep at a time from the lions and the bears, etc. And the reality is they've been being trained at a very private, personal level by God himself for their day when they're going to take on giants in their own locale, in their own life, in our own country. And there's a bunch of Davids out there that are ready to go to battle just like you and have done so. And we're taking on these giants together. They will not prevail. I have, you know, I said it to you guys when you're out to watch Sound of Freedom there with me in Nevada. You're all my heroes. And everybody in this audience, you're all my heroes. Because there is no, this isn't about individuals as much as all of us coming together, not in a communist collective way, but in a patriot way that we are standing united. We're closing our ranks. If somebody falls between us, we close that gap. And we are an army of God to protect America so that we can go out and be our brother's brother out across the world, not our brother's keeper, which is what these globalists want to do, to enslave us and move us into their dark future. We're going to take our country back, and then we're going to go out and we're going to help the rest of the world. That's my prayer, and it's going to be your audience and others like it that are going to be leading that. And I am humbled to get to be there with them and close ranks with them. You know, no single point failure. You know, if President Trump, if something happened this day and he was unable to be there, the American people are showing up. It's not about individuals at this point in time. There's a move of God in place. And even with all the threats that are coming against us, I want you to remember one thing. I talked about it with your audience before. The Medes and the Persians had taken very long years to prepare, to plot, to calculate how to take Babylon. But in all of their plots and all their calculations and all of their sneaking armies and drying up a riverbed to come under the wall, to get inside the gates, to get their people to open the gates to the armies being able to pass through and to take this great, huge walled city. In all of those plots, in all of those calculations, not a single general, not a single politician could possibly have anticipated the hand of God appearing out of a cloud in the middle of this huge feast celebration that the king of Babylon was having. And the hand of God wrote right there on the wall, like we write in clay, and said, this day your kingdom is required of you. And these people, they think they're only fighting us. But before it's all done, what do we remember of that falling down of Babylon? We remember the hand of God. People don't remember the part about the water and everything else. We may do all sorts.
Wow, man.
It's a good note to end on.
It was because
Cyrus got it done.
And it reminded me of the conversation I had last night with Amanda Grace, where she was saying that, you know, it is going to be about God, you know, coming in. And it is the whole story. This whole thing is a biblical proportion, and it is about God. Same as Johnny and Lo. A lot of the things that I'm hearing Juan talk about, this is what the prophets are saying too.
Correct.
You know, Robin Bullock is talking about these next few months are going to be tough. You know, last night in my conversation with Amanda Grace, these next few months are going to be tough.
They're going to be messy.
They're going to be messy. Exactly. But God. And I'm so glad there's a but God to that whole story. You know, that here we are going to be rescued and great things are in store.
Goosebumps when you said that. You know, Flyover family, y'all, we are millions strong. Truly, there's been... Just there's been millions of views, there's been millions of contacts, and there's millions of us locking arms that believe that next year's going to be better than this year, and it's because we're working together.
Yes.
It's 80 million people doing something, not looking at one person to do 80 million things that's going to save our country, and our eyes got to be on God.
Yep.
The eyes have got to be on the Holy Spirit and His strength in us, not looking to your left or right, looking to man. It's looking to God.
Exactly.
That is where our hope comes from.
Yep.
Justice is mine, saith the Lord. And there is justice coming for evildoers in this country. There's justice coming for pedophiles, for people that have turned our government's apparatus on its own people.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are being told. Those stories are going to be told, and justice is coming.
That's exactly right. And another thing, as we end, just one thing that I heard Juan say that's so true is that the general population is waking up, and they're not just waking up. They are speaking up and they are showing up. And we're just so proud to link arms with you all because we are seeing that all across these flyover states and with flyover family members that are in other states outside of the flyover country. We are seeing you all stand up and speak up, and we're so proud of you. And we're just honored to link arms with you.
Yep. Come out and see us in Grand Rapids or Colorado Springs. It's those places where you come together and you realize like, oh, home alone, isolated, maybe I'm fearful, but I come together and realize I'm not alone. So we have Grand Rapids, August 19th, 20th, 21st. That is a fired up, spirit-filled church, and it's going to be amazing, going to be rocking. If you're anywhere within an 8 or 10 hour drive, get there. Colorado Springs, September 24th and 25th. We're going to be at both. We're going to have a party. We're going to bring you guys all together. Text 918-851-0102.
Make sure you text flyover.
Give them the word flyover, 918-851-0102. So then they give us the code back. We'll know who to connect with to have at the party. So anyway, 918-851-0102. You get a discount as well. But the biggest thing is get there.
Yes.
Be in the room. This is a historical moment, and you don't want to forget it. You don't want to tell your kids, hey, I heard there were some great things going on in America, and some people rose up to save it. Be a part of the army that's saving it.
Exactly. So we just bless you. We bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up. We bless you to realize you are an important part of today. You are here for a reason. And we bless you to realize that the future is brighter than your past. Have a great day.
Be full of hope. Don't blink. It's not over. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Wyden. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.